more audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
I'm in Psalm 78, and I want to read something, and I don't know. A lot of times when you preach something, you say, listen to this like you've never heard it. Well, when you preach out of the Psalms, a lot of times they haven't heard it, especially it's up in the Psalms. But this is Psalm 78. It says, my people listen to my teaching and what I said. I will speak using stories. I will tell them secret things from long ago. We have heard them and known them by what our ancestors have told us. We will not keep them from our children. We will tell those who come later about the praises of the Lord. We will tell about his power and the miracles he has done. Okay. He says, my people listen to my teaching and listen to what I say. Now, I think that's not going on a lot of times. It's not going on. The teaching is not being listened to. And what I mean is, we listen to some of the Bible studies. We listen to the things. I'm just talking about churches in general. But are people hearing enough what God's saying? I mentioned last night this book I've got, and I have, unlike some books I've talked about, I have read part of it, because sometimes I like the title so much I don't. Honey, would you turn those lights on back there? That'll help a little bit. But just so that one's not shining straight in here. Yeah. But the title of this book is, that one is shining, honey. That one's shining, right? Yeah.
This one?
Yeah. No, the one. Yeah, make that one go down, the yellow one. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This book's called, although part of the sermon that's going out all over the world is about adjusting the lamp. But this book is called The Listening Side of Prayer. I think when you're a little kid, and you just look outside and you look at what's going on outside and you just, you get it. You get that God's talking to you. You get that there's something really good out there. But we get to developing our brains, and sometimes what we do is this. We decide God wants a certain thing somehow. Maybe it's very general. And then we just figure it all out how to do it. We just figure it out. This is what happened in the wilderness. When they crossed the Red Sea, they came out there, and they just couldn't do it God's way. Unfortunately. So they stayed there 40 years. They kept thinking that same way for 40 years. To the point that it wasn't very long. Well, it wasn't. It's to the point after a lot of times, but also it happened fairly early. They decided they'd rather be slaves back in Egypt. At least they got fed. But they got fed in the wilderness too, didn't they? And they certainly got fed when they crossed into the Promised Land. But here's what the deal is. The wilderness was a place where you had to follow God or you'd had it. Back in Egypt, they just told them what to do. They told them how many bricks to make. They told them all this stuff. And then they got soup at night, or porridge, or whatever it was. It had meat in it. And actually what they wanted to do was to go back to that. That was their idea, to go back to that. Instead of that horrible prospect of having to hear from God and do what God said. But see, they even had a bad view of that, because if they'd known how great it was to do that, then they'd been happy. Because what Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. This is easy. What's hard is living in the wilderness and saying, I want to go back all the time. That was what was hard. So up here in Hebrews 3, at the very end it says, so we see, the very last verse of Hebrews 3, So we see they were not allowed to enter. That's the new, you know, they tried to go in. I mean, they thought about going in and then they turned back. And when they found out God was really ticked about it, they decided, well, we're going to go in, but they couldn't go in then. And he didn't let them go in for 40 years. I think it was real obvious they weren't ready to go in. But it says, so we see that they were not allowed to enter in and have God's rest because they did not believe. In this chapter and in other places in the Bible, hear God and believe God are just linked up just like this. Hearing, believing, linked up just like that. I'll show you. It says here earlier, verse 7, so it is as the Holy Spirit says, today, listen to what he says. Do not be stubborn as in the past when you turned against God, when you tested God in the wilderness. Therefore your ancestors tried me and tested me and saw the things I did for 40 years. I was angry with them and I said, you are not loyal to me and have not understood my ways. I was angry and made a promise, they will never enter my rest. Well, not that generation. He just couldn't do it. God's not mean. God just couldn't do it. He just couldn't let them be his representatives in the promised land, because what are they going to do when they go in the promised land? Then they've got to fight. They fought some out here. But they've got, in other words, when you enter the rest, yeah, it's rest all right, but you got to fight. That's what it's always about. People say, well, life is such a fight. Well, it beats death. It's a fight, but it's a fun fight. It's like a food fight or something. I mean, it's a fun fight. Because if you follow him, you know you're always going to win. It sure looks like you're not at times. So what is going on? What can you liken this to with things in the world today? There's a big tendency to figure out what we think God's will is and to do that instead of really listening. This is what the psalm that I read to you, this, it's about hearing God. And if you're going to obey God, I just ask you this. If you're going to obey God and just live life the way, and we're not talking about specific things right now that he would tell you to do and you don't want to do and all that stuff. What we're talking about is just walking with him. That's what we're talking about. And what people want to do, because they think hearing him is such a horrible thing for some reason or another, they don't really listen. So this man writes a book, The Listening Side of Prayer, to try to get away from somebody praying for 10 minutes and all they did is ask God for stuff or things he should do, which he wants us to do. We say about this morning, ask and shall be given to you, seeking and find, knock the door, be all that stuff. But he also says, be still and know I'm God. Mm-hmm. Let there be a stillness. Let there be an understanding. Let there be a reception of what he has to say. And, you know, it may not all come in one day. It's an attitude. It's attitude saying, I'm going to get a hold of this. Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And we know at other places it says, if you believe, you know, you enter the kingdom and everything. So that's kind of hard to interpret that. So the only way I know to interpret it is doesn't mean necessarily you'll never get to heaven and all that. That's not what he's talking about. If you don't listen to God, it's going to be like hell right now. And then it'll be better if you believe. But it's one thing believing in Jesus. It's another thing believing what he says and that he can talk to you. If we don't believe, which some Christians don't believe this, by the way, if we don't believe that God can speak to us, then we're left to figuring out ourselves. And we can read the Bible, but if you read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, it's going to be really hard to know what to do. You know, you might think you're supposed to call fire down from heaven on somebody.
No.
I hear a lot of people talking like that's what they're wanting to do. James and John want to do that. A couple cities or whatever rejected Jesus and they didn't want to hear him and wanted him to leave and everything. They said, well, let's just call fire down from heaven on them. They knew the Bible. But Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. I came to save this world.
That's right.
So we live in New Testament time and it's different. And we don't have time to explain all the stuff of why the Old Testament's the way that it is. It is, though. God's there. God's inspired it. But we have to understand the New Testament's the New Testament. That means there's been a big changeover. Jesus died. He rose again. There's a big changeover. And in that changeover, I'll lead you, I'll guide you, an Old Testament scripture that comes to pass. He did to some in the Old Testament, but not like now. I'll lead you and guide you, show you the way that you should walk. What they did here was they just couldn't do it. They just did. I'm sure that some people, they hired on to be a carpenter's helper. And they're going to be a carpenter's helper. They're going to take this job. My granddad was that. Let's change this way. He was an electrician. One of the things he did as an electrician, he drilled oil wells and did all kinds of stuff. But he was a master electrician? What was he? I know he retired from it. He knew a lot about electrician stuff. I imagine once in a while they'd put somebody under him or train somebody or whatever, and after a while they'd say, you know, he's going to kill somebody. He just doesn't get it. Probably himself. He just doesn't get it. We had somebody in the family years ago. He was in his 20s. And I don't say it was because of this. But he was at work and he electrocuted himself and he died. Oh. And probably it could have been equipment failure, could have been kind of all kind of things. But, you know, when you're dealing with electricity, you got to know what you're doing. And probably my granddad would be working with somebody or whatever, same way on the oil well, and he'd probably have to say to the boss, you know, Sam here just doesn't get it. He's got a talent somewhere else, but it's not in this. I think after a while, God decided those people in Israel, the children of Israel, that generation, they just don't get it. They don't get this, and they just keep talking about going back to Egypt. That's not what this is about. This is about going to the promised land. It's not about saying, I can't do it, and going back to Egypt. So that whole generation, 20 above, the men, I don't know why they were so easy on the women back then. Probably because they did better. But the men died. And when they were all gone, and some of the ones that were 20 and under at that time, they had become men and had grown up. And they went in, they took the land. There were times in Israel, north and south kingdom type things, that, particularly the south kingdom, Judah, they got into idolatry and really, really got into idolatry and really messed up real bad and they got into captivity. But when they finally got back, you can read it in the Bible dictionaries and the commentaries and things, they might have gotten to a lot of things, but they didn't get into idolatry again. They did not because they saw how horrible it was. But then, you know what they did? They got wooden in their believing. You're talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They got so messed up in their thinking. I think we don't get this sometimes. We don't really think about this. Their God comes to them and they're so spiritually dull they don't know it.
Mm.
And not only that, they try to have him killed because he was messing up their religion. Can you imagine God messing up their religion? As one preacher was very upset, and God had told him some things, and it didn't fit with all his stuff, and he said, you know, all his traditional thinking and everything, and he said to him, he says, Lord, you're messing up my theology. And he said, the Lord said to him, your theology needed to be messed up. It was kind of mixed in with Old Testament and this and that, and the law, and I don't know what all. I know it was hard. I know it was hard for a bunch of people to accept a new way of thinking and everything. But this was God giving them the new way of thinking. Last night, Scott quoted the verse, "My thoughts are high above your thoughts.
Yes.
My ways high above your ways." Well, then I guess we're doomed then. No. What God says is, listen to what I'm saying. And there's a way out. That's what's so great. There's a way out. Of every situation, there's a way out. It's probably the way out is becoming like a little child again. One of my greatest memories, and this memory comes back all the time. We grew up on a hill. And I think my mom liked this hill. She had spent a lot of time on this hill. That's where my great-grandfather, Josh Testerman, who probably is the reason that Johanna's pretty tall, because for a 12, 13-year-old, because he was real tall. We don't know how high, but I'm thinking probably about like a guy by the name of Clarence I know, about 6'4 or something. But he had this hill, and he had gotten this in the land run. He hadn't actually gotten that piece. He'd gotten another piece, and he changed it with an uncle, is what my granddad told me. Because this one had a well on it, and he liked to talk. And that's what he told me. He said he liked to talk and pump water and give people water, so people came from all around to get water. And I know he liked to talk, because he even wrote in the newspaper and went on in the newspaper and wrote things. But we grew up on that same hill. My granddad ended up with it, and we bought part of it. We bought part of it or all of it or something, that original 80 acres, and that's where I grew up. And there was more land there, but the 80 acres was there. And some of my earliest memories are looking over to the west, and it was just rolling hills, and it was just so beautiful in the spring. And down below us was wheat, and it would be just waving, you know, and in the early spring, and then it started turning golden, and you just sit down and look like ocean waves down there. But I just love to look out, and I think about it all the time, because it was just so simple, so great. Just the landscape. I mean, you didn't sit around there doubting there was a God. And they told us at church that God would talk to you, so we just figured it was right. Now, how much the people at church were listening, I don't know. I think they tried a lot. Now, faith has to do with what you don't see. But it's real. And it causes you to eventually see what you need to see. But when we first start believing, we don't see a thing. And I noticed this. A lot of times, when you're trying to live this kind of life, and you get right to the edge of a breakthrough, you'll have the hardest day you ever had. Or you'll have the hardest week you ever had. And so much opposition and so much stuff in your mind. It's your mind a lot. The enemy just pours down on it because he knows probably you're about to get a big blessing. Mm-hmm. And what you've needed is about to come. And so he just lets you have it and pours it on as hard as he can. And then all of a sudden it's over. That comes when you listen and when you believe what you heard. So if we've cut it down to all we do is get things from the Bible, and maybe not very much from them either, and we take out the listening part, because see, when you read the Bible even, you've got to have the Holy Spirit to tell you what it means. I'll never forget this poor preacher. I feel sorry for him. He did our family a great thing. He led my Uncle Clifford to the Lord. And if you knew Uncle Clifford, you'd think, well, how could a miracle like that ever happen? But he did. But he was very much against the works of the Holy Spirit, some of the works of the Holy Spirit today. And one time this man came down to his altar, the altar in that church, and said, "The Lord spoke to me," and blah, 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 you know. And you know what he said? He said, "Well, isn't that something? I wish you'd had a tape recorder and turned it on when the Lord spoke to you so we could all hear what the Lord has said." I said, "How can you be that blind to say something like that, as if God doesn't speak to people today?" But I know he spoke to even to that preacher. He'd do great things, but he just didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and didn't believe the Holy Spirit was after you, we were supposed to just go by the Bible only. Well, we are supposed to go by the Bible only. But you can't understand the Bible only if you don't listen. So it is, verse 7, as the Holy Spirit says, today listen to what he says. Do not be stubborn as in the past when you turned against God. When you tested God. Now see, this is talking to the Hebrews. He's quoting, but this is coming to the Hebrews. So don't be hard, you know. And you turned against God, and you tested God in the desert where your ancestors tried me and tested me and saw the things I did for 40 years. A strange thing for a Christian to get to the place where we make fun of people who hear God. But that's how messed up we can get. But we don't have to be. And so God says, he makes it all simple. Makes it really simple. He says, be like a little kid and listen. Even when things are hard, he allows us just to turn them over to him and let him take them. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. All this is simple. It's easy. We make it so hard. Make it so tough. Now, is it easy in this material world, everything, to trust God, everything? I never said it's easy. I just said it's a lot better. It's a lot better than that, than doing everything ourselves and handling ourselves. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a different world since you rose again, since your son rose again. It's a different world. You've turned it into a world where we can hear God, where we can hear you, where we can be led by you, where we get off the path and we just ask forgiveness. We're right back on the path. We keep going. We don't mourn about it for 10 years or something. He wants to keep moving. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.